Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Hurd doing today's broadcast up the creek.
But I did have a paddle.
We open up the show with three calls today about fishing. No other talk show in America did that today.
Well, maybe Bassmasters.
Yeah, except they brag about it. All right, so... this isn't making any promos, I can tell you that. Rich Scarcella joins us, who is anticipating a huge celebration when his guy A-Rod hits number 660 and ties Willie Mays. Hi, Rich.
I don't think I've ever said that.
No, you have not. You know what? You have never been a fan of 13, really.
Not a big fan, no. No, no, not at all.
No.
But he's off to a terrific start.
No, I mean, credit's due. I mean, yeah. He is off to a great start. In all of your blue-white experience,
26 of them,
along with game experience.
Uh-huh. Right.
Did you get anything out of that?
No. No. I don't buy anything into other than, and I don't want to pick on the kid because he just got there, but Paris Palmer struggled Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Against Evan Schwann and Curtis Cawthron. Okay, you know, that's fine. The thing that struck me about him was that he's a lot leaner than I expected to see. But other than that, and he's got lots of time to put on weight, B, to learn the system and make improvements. So out of that, with all the guys missing, I don't put a lot of stock into it. I know it's a big day for recruiting. I know it's a big day for image. I understand that. I get that. The fact that they had the third, I think, is it the third largest attendance, Steve?
Yes.
So
far? Yeah, number three so far.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I understand that. I know why, but, you know, you do it and everything. But to me, to read a lot into it, no, I just don't.
You get a chance, though, when you're done, to go into the media room and talk mm-hmm. with some of the players. So what were some of the common themes that were brought out as you worked your way around?
I think the common theme was guys who hadn't played were pretty excited to be out there playing. We didn't talk to freshmen. I'm talking about kids, you know, guys who haven't played a lot, like an Evan Schwann and a Curtis Cotton, who had two sacks each, and sacks in quotes. You know, I think the common theme is just the comfort, you know, being comfortable. I wrote a column for Saturday, the day of the blue-white game, that said that, you know, the buzzword, and this isn't anything new. I mean, anybody who covers the team knows this. The buzzword has been comfortable and comfort level. And being that this is James Franklin's second year and his staff's second year with these group of players, and I think there's an increased comfort level, and I think that makes things better, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the message coming out of spring. I think people also talked about, and you probably have touched on this the last week or two, Christian Hackenberg is taking a different leadership role, a more assertive and a more positive leadership role. And I think, by all indications, it's been received pretty well. You know, and I think Naeem Wortman, who didn't play Saturday, is it's clear that he's one of the leaders on the defense.
Yeah.
along with Anthony Zettel and Austin Johnson. And so they're the stuff. Actually, the interviews that we've done over the last 2-3 weeks were more revealing than what we saw on Saturday.
Really?
I think so. I mean, not that there was anything alarming or anything, but the fact is, you learn some things, But I was really, I got to say this, Steve, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I was disappointed I didn't get to see Trace McSorley play.
Sure.
Because James Franklin had talked about what a great spring he had. Christian Hackenberg had talked about what a great spring he had had.
Right.
And, and then John Donovan mentioned that after the game. He thought it was a shame that fans and we in the media couldn't see that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field in a game situation.
Right, and that's the tough part, because he could not go last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the week he couldn't go.
Yeah.
And that's just something you're just not counting on. I mean, you know darn well that they would have preferred mm-hmm. that Christian Hackenberg play, 2-4 series and have Trace McSorley play a ton.
I think James said 1 or 2 series. Yeah. That was after, when I asked him about it after the game, they had planned to play Christian 1 or 2 series and then McSorley the rest of the Blue-White game. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody wanted to see him, most mm-hmm. especially Trace, but just, sometimes things don't work and it just didn't work for him.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I think it's pretty clear defensively. It's pretty clear that the secondary is going to be very good. I think the linebackers will still be very good. They'll miss Mike Hall for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's going to be a big drop off, if there's any drop off at all. And I just think the two guys in the middle of that defense, 98-99 are just going to cause havoc throughout the season. And I think the defensive ends, who, from all indications, a Carl Nassib and a Garrett Sickles have played well, I think they're going to benefit from that.
Oh, I agree. There's a domino there. That's the first thing Jack Ham said on the broadcast was, I've looked at the two rosters. He says, the first thing I looked to see is which team happened to have 98-99 on it.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going in that direction. He says, only because it's 98-99, not because of who they're facing.
Yeah. It's interesting, and of course, Bob Shoup would know this. After the game, he told us, I guess the first team defense was on the field for 9 series.
Yeah.
7 of them were 3 and out.
Right.
And I don't know it was negative yardage on more than half those series. I can't remember the exact numbers. But the fact is, I think Penn State's defense is going to be as good or maybe even a notch better, especially in the secondary, than they were last year. And, there's some work to do on the offensive line, obviously, and that's not a big shock. And But I think it'll be better. It is better than the situation last year, and go from there.
Because they were going to have a full comp, I should start over again. They're going to have close to a full complement. Probably have 79, 80, 81 scholarship guys on the team.
Mm-hmm.
All of us love the walk-on, run-on program, and there's certainly a depth of talent in the state, but there's also a difference as to why, for the most part, why a guy's a scholarship player and why a guy's a walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
In the cases like a Carl Nassib or a Ryan Kaiser, they become scholarship players.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that special teams will probably be populated by the vast majority, if not all, scholarship players, can that be a difference maker as to what we see in special teams outside of the kicking part of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought up special teams. Yeah, I think it'll be a big part of it. I think you're going to see improved play there. Obviously, we don't know what the kicking situation is going to be. We think, we saw that Daniel Pascarello improved late in the season last year as the punter. Joey Julius obviously has a strong leg. He's the leading candidate to be the kicker. We don't know how accurate he's going to be in a game. We don't know that yet. But I would agree with you. I think, coverage and return, both those games, I think they'll be better for sure. Yeah.
And I think it makes it'll make a big difference for them in what we see.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point at one stage, I think it was in 13, where the kick cover team had 8 walk-ons on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, 2 or 3, okay, sure, get that.
Sure.
8, it's nice, and, you give the kids, those 8 kids, a lot of credit, but you know, you hit it right in the head. There's a reason they're walk-ons, and there's a reason why they're scholarship players. So yeah, I think the special teams will be better. I think James Franklin expects that the special teams will be better. I think Charles Huff does too. I would agree with them. I think they have to be better if you want to be a championship team.
What becomes your focal point between now and the start of training camp? What assignments do you usually take on this time of the year?
Oh, okay. Well, right now, as I told Brian Tripp, I was sitting here waiting to see whether my high school baseball game would be postponed, and it was. Huh. I cover high school baseball in the spring. Enjoy it. It's pretty good brand of ball, and for those familiar with the Penn State baseball team, pitcher Nick DeStacio, I've covered from Ole Valley. Mm-hmm. I've covered him the last few years. He's a freshman at Penn State.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that. And then I have some freelance work to do. And once baseball season ends, hopefully for Berks County schools, one of them will be playing at Medlar Field in second Friday or whatever it is, the first Friday in June.
Right.
After that, I have until July 29th when I leave for Chicago to take a majority of my vacation.
Great. I like that.
So, it comes fast. I mean, that July, you know, boy, it comes fast. It does. And so that's basically what I do. I mean, I cover local college basketball, too. And, you know, I'll write a story or two about that between now and the beginning of football. And that's really it.
Yeah. Good. You deserve some time. So
yeah.
Enjoy it.
Thanks.
Take in a Yankee game somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to make my first trip to Dodger Stadium next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My son works out there, my younger son.
Yes. Yeah. You told me that. I remember
yeah.
that.
And they're playing the Giants, and we have tickets to see them next week. So we're pretty excited because I have never been to Dodger Stadium. I didn't, even the two times Penn State was in the Rose Bowl, I wanted to drive up and see what it was like. I haven't even been that close.
Yeah, I've only driven by it. That's it.
Yeah,
always wanted to go see it, and that people don't realize it's the third oldest ballpark in the majors now.
It is behind.
Fenway and Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And people tell you it still looks like it was built 10 years ago.
Yeah. Now my son is big baseball fan. He likes Dodger Stadium much more over Anaheim, but that's another story. He said he didn't care too much for Anaheim Stadium, but he is an American League fan.
Right.
So, but he, I'm looking forward to it. That'll be fun. And these next couple months will go fast.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah,
Rich, always a pleasure. It was great spending time with you.
Anytime, thank you.
Hey, I enjoyed spending Saturday night with you too. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was. What we did was for Jeff Nelson, it was going to be Jeff Nelson's transitioning out of. He'll still do a lot of work with football, but we'll be doing work in other areas. So they wanted to do something for him to thank him for all he's done. And the writers did that, which was a really great thing. They had a lot of fun. A little bit of a roast for him as well. So, all right. Getting to 20 after the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's a month-long luxury car celebration featuring the year's best deals on new and certified pre-owned Lincolns at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Isn't it time you reward yourself with the best of American luxury? Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making that American luxury affordable with big discounts and no-interest finance deals. Celebration savings of over $4,600 on a new Lincoln MKC all-wheel drive and take advantage of 0% for 48 months. Celebration savings of $5,000 on a new Lincoln MKS and take advantage of 0% for 72 months. Buy a certified pre-owned 2013 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid with only 29,000 miles for only $26,493. And during this month-long celebration, take advantage of 1.9% for 72 months. It's a month-long celebration at your home for American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Check out our inventory right now at sunburymotors.com. Financing with approved credit. All rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
All Okay, any other fishing questions? We can handle that at 800-795-9565.
I'd like to know why butterworms were doing so well this weekend. That's what I'd like to know. And I used them all up on the first day, and I didn't get any more. Can you give me an answer to that? Oh, wait, you were asking the listeners if they had it. I'm sorry.
I'm out. But maybe they know. Why were butterworms doing so well?
The only thing I was catching were like bottom feeders on butterworms.
Really?
Caught a lot of those.
Really?
I think Daniel caught the same chub twice within 4 hours of each other. It was really strange.
Well, not exactly lucky for that fish.
Or Daniel, for that matter.
Wow. Okay.
You're speechless after that.
Who wouldn't be? Hey, one thing that was around here for a long period of time, Spring Creek is a great fishing hole here, great one, but was off limits for a long time.
That's a nice little winding creek, and there's some really good places to access the creek too.
Yeah, there are. But it was actually because there was a company here years ago, Rutgers Nice, that evidently dumped in there. And it was actually on the Superfund list for a long period of time. Long time. And I can't remember. It was at least 10 years. At least 10 years where they were in, and it was off limits for people. Couldn't fish. And now they've been able to get people out there. You asked me about going by the creek.
I asked you what it was like that on first day.
There's nobody out there that I saw.
That's it. I'm camping out of your house next year.
Well, it was a big baseball and softball tournament. Or I'm sorry, baseball and lacrosse going on at the two fields near the creek. And there was lots and lots of cars parked there. But they were there for that. They weren't there for the fishing part of it. I also went by later in the day, too. So I didn't go by in the morning. And that's... But I know people that have fished in there, and they thought it was great, but at the same time, a lot of people like to go to Spring Creek further down, and also a lot of people like to go south of here and go to Spruce Creek, which is about half hour, 45 minutes from here. Some people fish in Bald Eagle Creek, some people in Penn's Creek. So, they get...
You know, in all the years I've lived out this way, I've not fished Penn's Creek yet, but I know a lot of guys really, really like that stretch of trout water.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've... They love it, and obviously you found it to be relaxing. Now, how often would you go out? I mean, now the opening weekend's over. How often would you go out after this?
You know, it all depends. Like, if I was free to go out, like, or how often will I go out, do you mean? That's two different questions.
Well, how often will you go out?
If I was able to, if there was no issues along the way, I would be out almost every day for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's only because trout season is very, very short. You get a good 2, maybe 3 weeks, and then it's done. It's fished out. It's just pretty much fished out. Bass, for some reason, seems to be a little bit longer of a season. Of course, and for the most part, it doesn't start till I think it's June or July. So you just transition right in from trout season to bass, and then if you get lucky enough, you can get out to Chillisquaque and start working on walleye.
Okay.
Now that I have a small boat, I may do that.
Figure talking about this would keep you from having to talk about the Phillies.
There's nothing to talk about there. I'm telling you, somebody should pay me to watch that game.
All right, final half hour of the show coming up. Our thanks to Rich Scarcello who joined us in this half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA is going to be taking place on May 6th. That's a Wednesday. Afternoon flight filling up. Morning flight has some openings. We would love to see a record this year. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin's driving another beauty this week.
And this week we're featuring the 2015 Hyundai Sonata Hybrid. And the reason is because there's some great deals on the hybrid Sonata right now. $239 a month for 36-month lease with $2,199 due at signing. You can also get 0% financing for 36, 48, 66, and more. Plus, some money back as well if you get some of the 48 or 36-month financing. With the 66 and 72 months, you get 0% financing over the life of that loan. So it's a great deal right now on a car that's going to save you a ton of money at the pump. The 2015 Sonata Hybrid, lifetime warranty on the battery. Never have to worry about replacing the battery.
Wow.
Just one of the many features we'll talk about this week with the 2015 Sonata Hybrid. You'll find that at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and that's in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Great. All right, so not much. I've told the story, I think, before, you know, about perspective on the blue-white game, where, number one, the most important thing, don't get anybody hurt. No Pete Massaro, no Zach Zwinak situations, anything like that, where it's like, oh, boy, there's a problem. Well, they went through the spring, and they didn't get that in the spring. They certainly didn't get that in the blue-white game. So they didn't. So that's a huge plus. That's the number one thing out of it. Number two, you're not going to show anything. Why do you want to show something on a nationally televised game, all right, that people are going to tape? Why bother giving them a tape to work with? So you're not going to show much of what you do during the course of the scrimmage. You're just not. And I've told this story before, well, you know, but it bears telling again. And that deals with in 2008, Pat Devlin, fine quarterback, very good quarterback, and Darrell Clark. And I remember going into the spring, you know, it was going to be a wide open competition. Devlin hadn't had a chance to get out there yet, and Clark had some limited time, but Clark actually played a decent role
in the Alamo Bowl victory over Texas A&M. And what they did was they put Clark back there in the quarterback spot, but essentially running Wildcat from that quarterback spot. I remember after the game having a brief talk with Jay Paterno, and I said, was there any thought to having Clark throw the ball since he is a quarterback? He said, yeah, the next play we had scripted for him was a pass play. But, he said, had the lead, thus didn't get to it. Like, okay. All right. So they go into the spring with that kind of backdrop. And I'd say about a week to 10 days in, it became apparent to me as an observer, obviously not somebody who's sitting there with coaching experience or anything like that, but as an observer, that Clark was going to be the guy. And just by the way he was handling things, how he was throwing the football. And so I'm going through, and then the blue-white game comes up. And in the blue-white game, guess who was really, really good? Pat Devlin. Pat Devlin played himself one whale of a blue-white game. He played really well. And Clark was no better than okay in the blue-white game. Now, you can never sit there and blame the fans for sitting there, and the one time they see something, one guy's really good and the other guy's no better than okay. So, of course, what is going to be the feeling coming out of the blue-white game? Of course it is, wow, look at Devlin. Because Pat played that well. Totally understandable. And I remember going around to speaking engagements, especially in August, and all Clark had done was really solidify what he'd done in the spring as August went along. And Darryl ended up being the Big Ten Player of the Year, and Penn State won the Big Ten, went to the Rose Bowl. That doesn't mean Devlin's not a good quarterback. Devlin was a really good quarterback. Really, really good. Just turned out that for what Penn State wanted to do at that moment, Clark was better. And I remember talking about Clark and the quarterback thing at various speaking engagements. And of course, it kept coming back to Devlin. And I said, okay, I understand this, but why so much about Devlin? I said, why discounting what I'm saying about Clark? I said, look, you know, we saw the blue-white game. I said, yeah. I said, but you got to remember, I saw the other 14 practices. And that's the part, obviously, fans, you know, don't have a chance to see. Totally, completely understandable. Right? Totally and completely understandable. And the other part, too, is I remember with the two of them, you know, they kept going back to arm strength. That Devlin has a huge arm, huge arm. Devlin had a really good arm. Really, really good arm. But Clark had actually had a stronger arm. And I remember that was the other one people would say to me. He said, you know, how can you possibly say that? And I said, well, I said, over a 10-week span, I said, I saw each of them throw 4,000 balls. And, of course, you know, and then I said, let me break it down for you. They probably throw 100 every day, and they practice 4 days a week. Back then it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I said, so when I say I've literally seen each one of them throw 4,000 balls, I've seen each one of them throw 4,000 balls. And Devlin has a really good arm, but Clark had a better arm. And again, that's just, again, the advantage of having this, to be there and to see it. Which is why I take no conclusions out of the blue-white game at all. I thought the kicking competition before the game was great. Joey Julius did a really good job. Chris Gould did a good job. Tyler Davis has been much better the last 2 weeks, and it showed on Saturday. But again, it was interesting. They put him in various spots. They put some pressure on him and the whole thing. But again, he had a snapper, a holder, and a kicker. You didn't have the other eight people, and you didn't have 11 people on the other side consumed with hate coming at you. And especially on like the 52, 59-yard field goals they tried, it's a little bit easier because with no rush, you'll probably end up kicking it low because they didn't put the net up in front of them. And that's one of the things that they will do in practice. They'll put the net up in front of them because part of the key of getting home happens to be getting the ball up and out fast. And if you recall Sam Ficken last year, Sam Ficken missed five field goals. What did all five field goals have in common? Every field goal that got past the line of scrimmage, he made. The irony is he had five blocked. Are you kidding? That's crazy. So, I mean, that'll be another component that adds into it. But I thought the field goal thing was fun. I think the fans enjoyed it. The punting thing, I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay much attention to that at halftime because we had guests on. So I didn't really get a look at that. But, of course, I've looked at it during the course of the spring. Yeah, the one-on-one battles do mean something. So, yeah, when people talk about Chance Sorrell and Paris Palmer, and especially Palmer during the course of the game, you know, the meaning of it and so forth, yeah, those are one-on-one battles. So I can understand why on a particular day you get concerned about a one-on-one battle like that. Now, I'm not going to, you know, but overall, I don't read too much into what happens in the blue-white game. And that's the reason why. I think it's a fun day. I think it's a great family day. I think it's a chance to go out and see some players, especially ones you hadn't seen before, get out and compete. Tommy Stevens would be an example. Nick Scott, who had a very good day on Saturday, nice touchdown run. You hadn't had a chance to see Nick Scott play before. Elements like that I think are just terrific. After the game, all those kids were on the field. That was great. Not just the kids on the field. There are a lot of adults in the field.
I was going to say, I would have enjoyed that myself.
Loving them. Well, and yesterday I emceed the paternal family run into Beaver Stadium, and they raised $400,000 yesterday for Special Olympics. And what they do, you have to come up with smart, innovative ways to raise money because federal and state funding is just nowhere near for any program what it used to be. So you have to come up with ways to make it up. Well, they came up with this idea 5-6 years ago. And Sue Paterno really came up with this. You know, a lot of people like to run, but you have to have something that's a little bit different, a little twist to get mass people to want to run or walk in something. And so they came up with the idea of finishing at the 50-yard line at Beaver Stadium, where you run through the tunnel into the stadium. And what's really neat is the number of people that go through there with cameras recording themselves as they go into the stadium through the tunnel. And I walked by past a guy yesterday, and by the way, they raised $400,000. $400,000 they raised for Special Olympics yesterday doing this, which is a record number. And I was there, had a long talk with Russ Rose. We were talking a lot about golf yesterday and things like that. And I had to get out of there only because I had to go to the to MC the basketball banquet. So I'm exiting, and this guy is laying in the end zone on the green part of the P in Penn State in the north end zone. And I looked down, I said, kind of cool doing that, isn't it? And he started to get up. I said, hey, don't get up. I said, enjoy what you're doing. He goes, and he says, yeah, this is the greatest. He says, I can't believe I'm laying on this piece of grass. And, you know, after the blue-white game, that was great. Now, I guess before the blue-white game, they had the autograph session. I saw none of that, zero. Okay, I saw none of that. So I don't know how it was set up, how it was structured. You as a fan would have to tell me what it was like I guess they didn't. They kind of roped it off and didn't let people run on the field beforehand. But after the game, they let everybody run on the field. Everybody. And hopefully things went smoother in that regard this year. Somebody said, they won't let them run on the field before the game. And I said, well, yeah. But I said, you know, to be honest with you, I said, after the game, they'll let them. And they did. After the game, they did let them. So, and I think that's just a part of it. You had 18,000 people that did not go into the game. So he actually had 86,000 there, 68 went in, 18 stayed out. But, you know, it's good to sit there and tell some stories about some players and mention certain things that maybe people didn't know, you know, like Saeed Blacknall bench presses 400 pounds now. And so. Or, you know, the Carl Nassib story about how he found out about his scholarship, things like that. So you're able to tell some of that stuff. You have some time to do it. It's like a UMass game, for example, is tougher. In that you have to learn all the guys that, you know, but there's still a lot of guys. They said, well, you know, a lot of walk-ons that don't play. I said, yeah, but I see them every day. So in other words, you know, I know 37's Kyle Alston. I know 38's Desi Davis. You know, I know Gordon Bentley's 89. You know, I mean, things like that, where because I've seen them now for a month. So in that part, in that area, it is easier. So in that area, it's easier. Come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
The year was 1915. Thomas Edison was lighting up the countryside. Abigail Geisinger was starting a local hospital. Henry Ford was building the Model T. And J.O. Mertz founded the Sunbury Motor Company.
100 years later, Sunbury Motors has become the most established and recognizable Ford franchise in all of northeastern and central Pennsylvania. In 1915, Sunbury Motors had an inventory of around 10 vehicles. And today, there's over 500 to choose from. They had 2 employees then and almost 200 now. SMC continuously improves for you. Sunbury Motors has a complete service department with a separate diesel shop and quick lane for your convenience. A state-of-the-art body shop and frame and alignment shop, along with one of the largest Ford parts operations on the East Coast. In the past several years, Sunbury Motors has also added the full lineup of Lincoln and Hyundai vehicles. Everyone is welcome to become part of the SMC growing family. Sunbury Motors, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Thanks, J.O.
Brother, we just had an off-the-air conversation that just raged into massive, massive non-common sense stupidity.
By whom?
It wasn't on my part.
Oh, come on.
It's a college.
Well, on our Facebook page, we got a message from John Peters, who, by the way, has a nice picture of what I'm assuming is his son with a trout. It says, what college offered the first fly fishing class? And he answered with Penn State, as Joe Humphreys and the late George Harvey taught the class. Both world-class fly fishers.
Well, I know Joe Humphreys really, really well. Joe Humphreys and I are old friends that go back. Joe and I go back 31, 32 years. And I'm talking good friends. Joe and I did, believe it or not, Joe Humphreys and I did, I've talked about this story on the air before. He and I did high school and college wrestling together on TV. He and I did many, many Penn State dual meets on television together. And then they also had us do the Northwest Regionals in high school wrestling from Altoona together. And Joe is just one of the truly great, great guys. I know I've talked, I've talked to Bob Knight about, who's about Joe Humphreys as a fly fisherman because they've fished together before. I remember the one time I met Dick Cheney, probably talked to him for a half an hour, 25 minutes was about fly fishing and Joe Humphreys because it happened to be somebody we had in common. And then George Harvey as well. I don't know where that helps you get a job, but that's fine.
I don't know. There's some guys that are fishing and making a lot of money.
Kevin.
I'm not saying there's many. I'm just saying Kevin, there's a lot of guys that are doing
Kevin,
it.
Kevin.
I watch Bassmasters.
Yeah, fine. That's great. The college. Okay.
I understand.
Okay. It's Gen Ed.
I would have liked to have taken a fly fishing class. That would have been great.
You can take one now.
That's true.
How much do you think it's going to help you?
Well, here's the thing. You've seen my golf shot. Can you imagine what it would be like for me in a crowded creek with a fly rod? I mean, let's be honest. It's probably not safe for everybody else.
I mean, I took golf at Penn State. It did nothing to help me get a job.
Do you play better because of it?
It was 40-something years ago.
So the answer would be?
Kevin, purpose of college is to get a job, okay? I don't care what anybody says. The purpose of going to college is to get a job or a better job than what you have now.
But in certain jobs, if you play golf, it could be very beneficial to your career. A lot of deals are made on the golf course.
Are you drinking again?
No. There are a lot of deals that are often made on the golf course. Some big money deals are made on the golf course.
So, in other words, you're going to pay a college tuition price so you could take a golf course as opposed to maybe going over to the local pro.
I didn't say that. I said if you're adding, if you're taking other courses, okay.
It's a gen ed class, okay, where you got to have a certain amount of credits and whatever.
I'd rather have that than an art class.
Well, there are a lot of people, Kevin, that make money in art.
I don't deny that. Not me.
Let's go to a gallery.
I wouldn't know a good piece of art if I was tripping over it.
Dogs smoking cigars, playing poker. You can tell right away what's going on. That's art.
I think I've seen that at a couple of yard sales lately.
Oh, you should pick one up. To be great conversation piece. I'm sure your wife would love it.
I love all these people that go to these yard sales and pick up these pieces of art and then take it to Antiques Roadshow and these are worth millions of dollars. I take it to the roadshow and they say, how much did it cost you to buy it? You got ripped off.
Yeah, you overpaid, dog.
That's how I go antiquing, all right? It's not very successful. It's about as good as my golf game, come to think of it.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, I've got to talk to the Purdy's about additional insurance.
It might not be a bad idea.
Almost paid off a couple of years ago at a claim.
With every new year, there's fresh hope.
Wow. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.